Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Welcome on in to today's Freight Waves Now Community Spotlight. I'm Kaylee Nix, and it's Wednesday, which means that it's time to check in with the one and only Alan Adler. And Alan, thank you for joining us here. You took another really incredible site visit for this week's episode of Truck Tech, and rumor has it this is going to be quite the good episode.
Well, I'm a little biased, Kaylee, of course, but, you know, the opportunity to talk with someone like Jen Rumsey, who's the CEO of Cummins, great opportunity. You know, really, I guess exclusive is overused probably, but, you know, it was because it was a one-on-one. And, you know, you kind of save up your good CEO questions for something like this, you know, so we talked about a lot of interesting things, including, you know, what's been happening in China, because they've been in China for more than 50 years. Russia, where they exited in 2022 at the time of the invasion of Ukraine, and the fact that, well, I'll give it away, spoiler alert here, they're not going back. And also, you know, some recent news involving Cummins, which was a very large fine that they had to pay for violations of the Clean Air Act. But, you know, Cummins has this a very good reputation in terms of, you know, being kind of a good citizen about the environment. So this particular thing, while painful financially, also maybe a little bit disappointing to Jen Rumsey, because I asked her, I said, you know, did you think that maybe you would get not a pass necessarily, but a little bit of credit because you do have a good reputation? And she said, you know, she said some of the tone, because, you know, the actual Attorney General, Merrick Garland, was quoted in the press release about this, which is unusual. You know, she said it felt a little bit over the top to her, but they've moved on and, you know, they're continuing to pursue what they call Destination Zero. And this is their plan to be carbon neutral by 2050, which, if you think about a diesel engine company, that's a big lift. You know, so we talk a lot about the business in a bunch of different areas. So look forward to that. I hope people enjoy it tomorrow.
Yeah, I definitely think that it's going to be one worth watching, because when she stepped into this role just about a year and a half ago, we knew that she had some pretty big shoes to fill. And her appointment into that CEO role was done almost as kind of like a personal choice, right? It was very much this, she was built to become the CEO of Cummins eventually. And that was kind of her professional development role, was in order to take the helm of that role. How has she fared in that year and a half and the 20 or so months that she's been leading? And what has the reception been like? What's her now goals looking forward to the next 20 months?
Well, one thing Jennifer has done is she's become very, very good at telling the Cummins story. You know, when she was the chief operating officer and then the president, which were all sort of steps to this role, that, you know, Tom Linebarger, the previous CEO, sort of handpicked her, quite honestly, to take over. She's a 25-year veteran. She's really upped her game in terms of being able to tell the Cummins story. I think there's a couple things, Kaylee, that really stand out about Cummins. One is a partnership and joint venture approach that they take to the business. You know, they're very big in distribution. They're very big in making engines. It's a, I don't know, $32, $34 billion business that they have. And they're active throughout the world, as I said, but they're also aware that they can't do everything by themselves. And I guess if you just take it from the most recent sort of joint venture, they entered into one with PACCAR and with Daimler Truck and a smaller battery maker out of China to make lithium iron phosphate batteries in the U.S. starting in around 2027. This is a very big deal. It's a $3 billion deal. They're in it for about a billion of that. And they're also investing heavily in, you know, the next generation of their diesel engines. So as they move towards what used to be called New Power is now called Accelera. That's the branding that they've put around electrolyzers and fuel cells and fully electric chassis and things like that. You know, that business eventually will probably take over in terms of, you know, being listed first as the business instead of the diesel engines. That's not here yet, but it's something that I think that they're moving towards. And, you know, there's no specific date in mind, but I think that, you know, at this point, the diesel business pays for everything that's going on at Accelera. That won't always be the case. They probably break even there around 2027, and then we'll see what happens. But, you know, I think what Jen has been doing is sort of trying to balance these two, make sure that there's something to look forward to, as well as the, you know, the business that generated $4 billion in cash last year, which was the engine business.
I love it. We are seeing that continued progress, and kudos to Jen on her first 20 months, and we'll see more on the future for her. Let's pivot to the newsletter coming up this week, because that's all about the show, which of course you can find right here on FreightWaves TV this afternoon. But for the newsletter, you've got another good one this week, and continuing on that theme of partnerships, brand new space for Navistar to step into. They're returning to autonomous trucking after what was kind of a messy shakeup with Too Simple. Who are they now looking to partner with?
Well, interestingly enough, it's sort of a back to future story because, you know, a couple of years ago, one of the first visits I ever did when I started covering autonomy was with Plus and David Liu, the CEO. And we were chatting in his office at our chat conference room. I can't remember which. And he showed me a video of the then Navistar CEO, Percio Lisboa, actually riding in one of the Plus autonomous trucks, obviously an earlier version than they have now. But it was interesting because, you know, Navistar, again, was, you know, for 2.5 years was in partnership with Too Simple. Too Simple has now left the U.S. And has kind of set up shop in China and Asia and focusing on that. Plus, which is also in China, but has sort of, you know, it's a little bit weird the way they talk about their China business. But they are very interested in the U.S., both from a what they call kind of a level two a driver assistance program, as well as now level four or true autonomy. And, you know, they are now going to be providing their Plus Drive system, their level four system to Navistar. Navistar had done a lot of work in the chassis area. We're not sure this is a fully independent chassis. I wasn't able to speak to anybody this week, but we do know that, you know, this is the direction that Navistar has now chosen for itself. You know, we've speculated that, you know, Kodiak might be a good mate for them or someone else, but Plus gets that business. They're working on some level four stuff in Australia and a few other places. So truly a global business. But with Navistar, you know, you're talking a part of Traton, the German holding company for all the truck businesses. So this is something that could spread to Scania, it could spread to MAN, you know, some of the other Traton brands.
It's going to be interesting to watch and to see how that shakes out. And good for Navistar landing in a pretty good partner after what felt like a little bit of a dramatic breakup with Too Simple, of course, exiting the United States. Also coming up in the newsletter, if we're talking about drama, some not so nice things going on with Workhorse and deciding if they are able to hold on or not. What's happening on that side of things?
Well, you know, earnings coming out this week, fourth quarter and 2023, not a great story from a financial perspective. Runway is very, very short. Cash is very, very short. They're now going to be laying off about 20% of the workers. We learned recently that's about, you know, the total employment at Union City, Indiana, which I'll talk about in a moment, is about 105. So you take off 20% of that, that's going to, you know, shorten things up. And really, that's in direct response to sort of a slowdown in electric vehicle sales. We saw it certainly in the passenger car space. But now with the Advanced Clean Fleet rule being delayed and maybe being altered, we don't really know. Workhorse isn't able, even though they've got the product and the dealer network ready, they're not able to get the orders that they thought they were going to be able to get for their W56 or Class 5 and 6 step-in van, electric van. So, you know, they're making some dramatic cuts. They're taking some pay cuts at the executive level. As I mentioned, you know, 20% layoffs. And then I think they're also looking, Rick Dauch, the CEO, told me last week that they're looking at doing a lease back on the facility. And interestingly enough, this is a little bit of a preview. I believe it'll be next week. We spent some time in Union City at the plant. Really was bulldozed and kind of started over at the tune of about $34 million. So we'll have that coming up, I think, next week on Truck Tech. That's the plan anyway. We might slip something in instead. But the idea is that we're looking at Workhorse. We've been following them for a long time. They're clearly one of those companies that, you know, kind of stopped the business and started over. And that was a risk to do that. But, you know, they're ready to go if there's a market for the product that they're making.
We're going to keep a close eye on them as well. Alan, thank you for joining us this morning. For people who want to catch the show or subscribe to your newsletter, where can they go to do that?
Well, you know, the FreightWaves YouTube channel is just full of things like truck tech. We've got, you know, a playlist there of, I don't know, 50-some episodes now. So you can go there. This will air on YouTube at 3 o'clock Eastern today. And then you can catch it anytime because it'll live there. That's the episode with Jen Rumsey. Friday's newsletter, if you're on the email distribution at freightwaves.com under newsletters, you get that at 11 o'clock by email on Friday morning in the Eastern time. And then it also posts on freightwaves.com. So a couple of different ways to get that.
All right, Alan, thanks for joining us this morning. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you.